Welcome to Brilliant Ideas Radio. Brilliant Ideas keeps you informed about all the products and people in the food industry. Friends, fun, music, news, and of course, food. Now pull yourselves up to the kitchen table with our hosts, Frank Price and Kerry Ingalls.
Brilliant Ideas Radio. And Kerry, do you have your mask on?
I'm at home by myself, so no.
It's happening again. Everywhere you go, there's everybody wearing masks.
I just read an article that said that Walmart, Costco, everybody's mandating it. Put your mask on.
Yep. It's happening, McDonald's in New York City, and oh, boy. Welcome, everybody. As you can tell, I'm frustrated with it, but been running around all day today like a rabbit with diarrhea, so I'm just catching up here. So I just hate this stuff. I'll be glad when it's gone. Is it ever going to be gone, Kerry?
Is it ever going to be gone? I have no idea.
I say we just move on, duck our heads, and go and forget all this craziness. Today on the Green Ideas Radio Show, we are swapping up a little bit, switching things up again on this show, and we're going to be doing food news and commentary at the beginning of the show, and we've had some changes of guests and some scheduling that's been changed all around. We have a guest coming on the second half of the show. His name is Brian Max. He's a singer-songwriter out of Nashville, Tennessee. I've known Brian forever, and he's coming on the show later on to play some of his new music and talk about what he is up to. And Kerry, I guess you're busy with your Basil and Salt magazine and company, so I know you said there really wasn't anything new. You just want to tell the listeners about Basil and Salt real quick before we start doing food news?
Oh, sure. Basil and Salt is all about food and kind of lifestyle and what it is that makes your house a home, which would be everything. Design, decor, cocktails, entertaining, outdoor decor, everything that makes you happy. BasilandSalt.com.
Yep. Everything that makes you happy? okay, I'll stop while I'm ahead. All right, folks, it's time for food news, and there's a whole ton of food news. Did you see the list I sent to you, Kerry? I mean, there's like, and this is just part of it. I've got more. It's just every week. It's amazing what goes on in our little foodie world. So we will start and give a little bit of our commentary and see what happens here. Number one story.
All right.
Well, this one made me laugh. A trade group representing some of America's biggest baked good companies. I'm getting an echo again for some reason. Yeah, I know it's not you this time. The biggest baked good companies is urging the Biden administration to ratchet back on its biofuel ambitions. You know, biofuel instead of gasoline, they want to do corn fuel and ethanol and all those fun stuff. Well, the trade group is arguing that using all those types of fuels is making the crops more expensive. It's going to raise the cost of donuts, bread, and other foods. The complaints mark an unusual entrance by the food industry into the U.S. energy policy debate and puts it in an unwitting alliance with big oil. So now the food industry and the oil industry are teaming up and saying, hey, we don't want you to use corn and all this other stuff because it's going to make our donuts more expensive. So I don't know what's going to happen there. But, I mean, the cost of oil has gone crazy. Everything's gone crazy. So I'm not sure if it's going to make a whole lot of difference with the way things, prices are going up. But they are fighting the Biden administration, so we will stay on top of that story. Okay, and along that same line, despite the higher ingredients cost and an uncertain labor situation, fast food companies did turn a profit in the second quarter. McDonald's and Yum Brands posted same-store sales growth, listen to this, 15 and 19%. So people are going back out and ringing those cash registers, and that's good. That's why I just worry about all this stuff with the Delta variant and the mask, and you know what's happening. You know what's going to happen. I've said this several weeks ago. I hate to say it again, but I think we're going back to lockdowns. Hope not, but the restaurants have benefited most from lockdown conditions and are thriving now because people are just dying to get outside. And by the way, Carrie, speaking of that, did you ever make it over to Long John Silver's?
Funny that you have asked, because today I was just talking to my son and they said, hey, let's go have lunch at Long John Silver so I can check this out. And we, my son said, hey, I don't think that there's one around here. And I said, yeah, there used to be one up on the hill. Let's check it out. It's not there anymore. In fact, the closest one is Richland, which is really far away. So, nope, I'm not going to be checking out Long John Silver's anymore. Yeah.
Does that mean I have to be the guinea pig?
If it's close by, if you have one that's near you, yes, you're going to have to be the guinea pig.
And folks, if you don't know what we're talking about, the last couple of weeks we've been talking about what I call fake food, but it's all the plant-based options. And now Long John Silver's.
Food.
It's still food. It's fake stuff, though. Long John Silver's is coming out with a plant-based fish fillet, which, I mean, that right there sounds like something that Dr. Seuss would say, and a plant-based crab cake. So Carrie was going to be the one that's going to be the guinea pig. I guess, well, again, the closest one to me is about 40 minutes away. I guess I'll check that out next week. I can't believe all this plant-based stuff. People really want it, but I guess they do. So maybe I'll report next week about Long John Silver's fake fish.
Oh, there we go.
I can't wait. All right. Moving along here. Speaking of the Delta variant, after a few busy and hopeful months, restaurant operators fear that the Delta variant could force them to close up shop again. See, as cases of COVID-19 reignite across the country, food service operators think the virus could be a lethal blow as they also contend with higher food costs, labor shortages, and debt from the last 17 months of closures. I mean, we already lost over 100,000 restaurants. We can't do this again. But what do you want to do?
I don't know. I keep thinking if they just wouldn't shut us down again. I just can't see that. I just cannot see a full shutdown. I mean, there are states that are just, you know, that just won't do it, I think. I honestly believe that.
Did I tell you about the lady who yelled at me at the gas station because I didn't have a mask on?
Did you get yelled at?
Yeah, pumping gas, for God's sake, and she was not being nice, and she was yelling at me that I should have a mask on, and I didn't respect other people, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, I have a full beard.
Yeah.
I told her to squint her eyes just a little bit, and it looked like I got a mask on. She didn't think it was funny. She slammed her door and left.
Yeah.
Oh, well, onward and upward. Okay, now because of all this stupid mess that's been going on, there is a shortage of truckers in the United States to haul the food. And it's becoming so severe that companies are trying to bring in drivers from abroad like never before. The U.S. has been grappling with a chronic lack of drivers for years, but the shortage has reached crisis levels because of the pandemic, which simultaneously sent demand for shipped goods soaring while touching off a surge in early retirements in the trucking industry. So now even if the plants can make it, we don't have truck drivers to get it there. I mean, it's like a domino effect. Everything is just completely messed up. And then, of course, the shipping companies and stuff from with the big over the water ships, we talked about that 2 or 3 weeks ago. I mean, the whole world is upside down. Remember that game, Barrel of Monkeys?
No.
You don't remember Barrel of Monkeys?
I mean, I know the term, but I don't think I've ever played the game. I remember seeing it, though, when I was a kid. How much older am I than you?
You're younger than me. How much older am I?
I don't know if that's true.
Yeah. I remember we talked about that last week. I was 4 years old in 1964, so do the math.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I'm an old boy. Yeah. Well, Barrel of Monkeys, the reason why it came to mind is you would shake them up, and they were monkeys that had little arms that they connect to one another, and you try to make a chain out of the mm-hmm. monkeys without – it's kind of like pickup sticks, but it was called Barrel of Monkeys. And you had to pick up monkeys without moving the other monkeys. But it made a chain of monkeys. So basically our Barrel of Monkeys are all scrambled all over the table, and there are no supply chains anymore. That's my analogy. It's the Barrel of Monkeys.
Well, gosh, I know the trip to the grocery store the other day is just, it's like, you know, everything's doubled. I'm shocked. I mean, even though I knew things were going up, to see a bag of Doritos, you know, which is generally $2.50 to $3, almost $6, just, I mean, this is going to hit. Yeah, so when you have families that are kind of on a budget anyway when it comes to food, you know, all that extra stuff is going to drop off, which is going to hurt companies like Frito-Lay and, you know, companies that have to raise the prices to make it. Yet at the same time, when your budget doesn't change and the food prices go up, you have to just get the basics and let all the other stuff fall away.
Yep, because I was on a conference call today. I'm in the food packaging business. That's what I do for real life. And we've raised, I guess since December, we have had increases of close to 50% on the type of packaging that I sell to customers. And the customers are just like, they've gotten to where they're numb to it now, but they have mm-hmm. to pass it along. I mean, we had a 20% right. price increase today that goes into effect September 1st. And they just, you know, it's like, here we go again. But it's going to eventually make it to the consumer. So you're saying Frito, like those bag of Fritos, like the family size is now like $6?
A bag of Doritos, yeah. It was like $5.70 something. Yeah, and this is at Walmart. This isn't at a gourmet shop or, you know, this is your basic Walmart.
Crazy, crazy, crazy.
Yeah. So Doritos didn't go in my cart. And it's nothing against Doritos. As I'm saying that, it's just an example. because I completely understand that they have to raise their prices just like everybody else does.
Yep. I mean, it's like you and I talked, there's a shortage of chicken breasts, chicken wings, you name it. There's shortages right now of everything.
Except for Popeyes, because they've been hoarding them.
Yes, they have. Smart people for 6 months.
You can all go to Popeyes.
They've been hoarding the chicken breasts, and they're coming. I think they launched their chicken nuggets. I think it was this week. It was this week. So yeah.
Okay, I'll have to get up there and check it out. We do have a Popeyes close by.
Oh, Popeyes is like I can almost walk to Popeyes from here. In fact, I have. All right, more bad news. Which is along this same line I mentioned it a minute ago. Mayor Bill how you say it, de Blasio? Bill de Blasio mm-hmm. of New York City announced on Tuesday that everybody in New York City will be required to prove vaccination if they want to participate in indoor activities, including restaurants, gyms, performances, plays, et cetera. This is his latest attempt.
This also applies to the people that work there. So all employees yeah. must be vaccinated
yeah.
as well, or show proof of vaccination. Yeah. One job, get vaccinated.
I personally believe this is going way too far because you're not supposed to force people to do this. And he's setting up society to be two different grades of people, the vaccinated and the unvaccinated. And that's not what America is about. It's a choice, just like my body, my choice. This is no different. My body, my choice. And people will argue with me and say, but you got to look out for the other guy. I wasn't looking out for the other guy before. I was being me. So who put me in charge of everybody else?
I
don't want to be in charge of
everybody. To note that it's not just the government or not just local government that's putting these mandates in place. I have seen here in the Seattle area and also in the San Francisco area that individual places of business, are, you know, bars and nightclubs and restaurants are also mandating this. So it's not just a government thing that individuals are applying this to their own businesses as well.
It's a mentality.
Can't come in
if
you're not vaccinated.
It's a mentality that's running rampant, and I don't agree with it. And they have private companies have the right to do that. They can say, you know, no shirt, no shoes, no service. So I guess they can say no vaccine, no entry. But I don't know. We'll see. I won't go there because that's a political hot potato there. We all have in our own opinion, like belly buttons, we all have in our opinion. So moving along. Starbucks, let's get out of that depressing stuff about COVID and shortages and high prices. Starbucks, speaking of high prices, their cold beverages are massively outselling hot coffee in the U.S. They call it a cold brew boom. This was amazing to me. I don't know if you saw this article, but cold beverages, the third quarter ending June 27th for Starbucks, made up 74% of their total domestic beverage sales, a new record and up 10 percentage points over the past 2 years. Iced coffees are red hot, haha, and cold beverages now massively outsell hot cups of Joe. And the CEO, Kevin Johnson, said, we continue to see strong demand for Starbucks cold brew, Nitro cold brew, and Starbucks refresher beverages, while iced shaken espressos alone contributed more than a third of the iced espresso growth in the quarter. So I know you and I have talked about Starbucks. I'm not a fan of their coffee, mm-hmm. but do you drink their iced drinks, iced coffees?
I have had their iced coffee. I do want to say that in these hotter, you know, months, April, May, June, you know, as it warms up, and especially here in the Northwest, it's been pretty darn warm. I totally understand why. I mean, I don't ever drink iced coffee except for this time of year. But what I've heard, and I don't know this for sure, but my daughter is a barista, not for Starbucks, but for another company. And she says the cold brews, especially like the nitros, they have more caffeine. So they're also a little more amped. You get more bang for your buck.
You know, I don't think I've had any of those. Iced espresso, nitro. What is that? Is that an espresso?
A nitro cold brew. No, it's you know, I mean, so that I'm accurate. Let me pull this up.
I mean, most people in this world except me know that answer. So you don't really have to spend a lot of time looking it up, but. Because I don't go to Starbucks.
No, but see, it's in a can. You can buy it in a can.
Oh, okay. So it's pre-made.
So you can probably also get it from the store. But, you know,
I would guess, like, is it something like a, what do you call those?
It's just it's a coffee. I mean, it literally is. You know, it's not like an ice. It doesn't have a whole bunch of cream and sugar, and I mean, it's coffee. It's just brewed completely different. It's a cold brew instead of a hot brew, and it apparently retains a lot more caffeine.
So it's not like a monster drink. It's actual coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's where it's at. If you go to Starbucks, 74% of their beverage sales now is cold beverages and brews. So
right, but the nitro cold brew is they infuse it with the base brew with nitrogen to give it a rich, creamy head similar to that of a nitro dropped beer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it's in a can. So you can buy that at the store.
I'll have to check that. I wonder if that goes if that pairs well with fake fish and fake crab cakes.
Well, it's not fake coffee, so.
Yeah.
It's real coffee.
I wonder if they make a plant-based coffee, like a fake coffee. Make
I
it
don't
out
know.
Of like
coffee
mushrooms.
Is a plant.
Maybe maybe somebody's out there making like a mushroom juice that tastes like coffee.
Oh, yeah. I remember a long time ago when I was a million years ago and in what seems like another life when I was in my 20s, I was working at the Design Center in Seattle and there was a coffee cart out in the plaza. And this kid was trying to, I would go out and get my coffee every morning so that when I actually reached my desk, I would be nice to humans, to other humans. And I was standing there and he was trying to sell me these little packets of dust, you know, whatever to mix in your water. And he kept telling me it's a natural alternative to coffee. And you know, to this, and I'm like, well, coffee is natural. It's a bean. it's a plant. It's a bean. You put water in it. It is natural. When you mean natural alternative, it's not fake. It's a bean.
So everything. So a cow is natural, but somebody's got to fiddle around with it and take a rutabaga and a eggplant and turn it into a hamburger. Both of them are natural, though. I mean, in fact, cows eat grass, so they actually use plants. They are plant-based animals. They eat it, and they turn into meat.
Your food eats their food. I get that. And like we were kind of discussing via Messenger today, I wish that some of these burger alternatives, though, were available when I was dating. I had a long-term relationship a million years ago. This guy had three heart attacks and he had heart disease and red meat was just something he couldn't eat, but he loved hamburgers. And this would have been such a great alternative if something that, you know, something like this was around at that time.
Well, I hate to ask this question. Is he doing okay? Is he still around?
He's still alive. Huh? We aren't together, but yes, he's still alive.
Okay. He said he had three heart attacks, and it was a million years ago. I thought, man, he must be on a short time clock.
yeah. That's what he thinks, too. But, yeah, I think he's had another one since then.
Wow.
You know, since,
really?
Yeah. Yeah. And they just, it's medical, you know, medics keep him alive.
Wow. Poor guy. Mm. Well, on that happy note, let's go to the next story.
He's still alive, so it is happy.
There is a happy ending to that story. All right, Carrie, would you pay $200 for French fries?
I just couldn't. No, not something that was going to go in and come back out.
That's how much they cost at a restaurant called Serendipity 3, and it's in New York, and it claims the world records for the most expensive burger, which is $295, an ice cream sundae, which is $1,000, and now they've come out with the $200 French fries. Guinness World Records certified as of July 13th, the fries are officially the most expensive fries on earth. The chef, Joe Calderon, says Serendipity is really a happy place. Yeah, I bet they are. I bet the people who collect the $200 for French fries are really happy. People come here to celebrate, to really escape the reality of life. They call these fries, you know I'm going to butcher this name, creme de la creme pommes frites. I think that's how you say it.
Pomfrites.
Oh, is that what it is? Well, it's spelled pommes frites. How do you say it again?
Chipperbeck potatoes. I've never heard of that. Chipperbeck potatoes.
Yeah, Chipperbeck potatoes. They're blanched in vinegar and champagne. Then they fry them in pure goose fat. And not only once do they fry them twice. By the way, that is the magic. If you're making homemade fries, if you blanch them, then you fry them, then you fry them a second time. That's how you get the crispy outside. Otherwise, you get soggy fries. But they fry them the second time, and they're crispy on the outside and fluffy on the inside, and they'll cost you $200, and they're sprinkled with edible gold and seasoned with truffle salt and truffle oil. And then they're served on a crystal plate with an orchid and thin sliced truffles and a Mornay cheese dip. And the sauce is infused with truffles too. Truffles,
nice.
See, truffles are mushrooms, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't get out much, but who in the heck, I mean, when you got money to burn if you're going to spend $200 for French fries, but I guess
it's
a happy place. It's a happy, happy place. They said that I was reading the whole article. It's pretty long, but they have a waiting list of people who want to make reservations at the restaurant just to get these fries. And I believe it was like 3 or 4 months long where they were booked for people to come in and actually have a table where they could have these fries. So if you're in New York City and vaccinated, you can check out Serendipity 3 in New York City and take $200 with you if you want some fries.
Go for it. Report back. Please message Frank.
I'm
going to
tell you right now. I'll tell you right now. I'll go try the Long John Silver's, and I'll go try that Nitro Starbucks thing, but I'm not going to New York City to try the $200 French fries. No, thank you. Unless someone wants to pay, if somebody wants to pay my way, yeah, I'll do it. Let's see, the phones aren't ringing off the hook, though, so I don't think that's going to happen. Okay.
Well, maybe somebody's going to be taking a trip there or is already there, and they can message you and just say, hey, it was really good.
You know what? I actually know some people in New York City, so I don't think they have $200 to their name. Never mind. Okay. Next question, Carrie. Have you had the newest it drink is hard seltzer? Have you had any hard seltzer?
I have not.
Me?
I've not had any or anything like that.
Well, I'm going to say me either, but I did. I don't like seltzer. There's something about seltzer. You can put all the different flavors you want into it. Seltzer to me is just like, why are we drinking this? But it is the new it drink for 2020 and 2021.
Mm-hmm.
Hard seltzer. I mean, listen to this. Just in 2018, sales of seltzer was $500 million a year. Last year in 2020, it was $4 billion. So it went up eight times the amount in 2 years. Unbelievable. The New York Times stated in a Nielsen IQ data report that it had gone up to $4 billion in 2020. So the question is, why did hard seltzer take off? Do you know, Carrie?
Great marketing.
Yep. It's all about marketing. White Claw is the number one seltzer company out there, and they're dominating the business. The second competitor to them is Truly, But they did major league marketing. And I guess now it's the end thing for people that are 21 to 30 years old. They'd rather drink seltzer than they would beer. In fact, I didn't even know this, but Budweiser, because of seltzer, Budweiser is now not even the number one beer anymore, because so many people are drinking seltzer and changing all those different things they're drinking that Budweiser has fallen down below number five in the beer mm-hmm. category. So White Claw Slim cans commonly state that the drink contains only 100 calories, are gluten-free, and have only 2 grams each of carbohydrates. So if you're on that, what's that called, the diet everybody's on, paleo?
Uh-huh.
I guess that'd be the drink. The drink it only has two grams of carbohydrates. At one point, White Claw had over 60% market share of hard seltzer in the U.S. And though exact numbers are tough to come by, it has slipped a bit, whereas number two in the category Truly have gained position. Together, Truly and White Claw command up to 80% of the market. And they're expecting it to grow. In the article, it was saying they're expecting it to grow 4 to 6 times, even bigger than it is now. I just don't see what the attraction is. I want someone to explain to me why they like seltzer.
Well, do you remember like a million years ago when wine coolers took off, and that left older folks like us at the time when we were younger just completely baffled?
You're right. That was Bartles and James. Yes.
Do you remember huge that was for the young crowd?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Thank you for your support, Bartles and James. But you're right. That was the big thing.
And older folks like, what are you drinking? That is not wine. That is not beer. What is that? And it was the drink of
good
choice.
I guess everybody has their thing. It's kind of a status thing now. They say that people, when they go to bars, and you know, you're like you're in the in crowd if you've got a White Claw drink in your hand. So it's more.
I'm always on the outside, I guess.
Yeah, me too. Well, I think it's seltzer. I think of the Three Stooges. Remember they used to have those seltzer bottles and they would squirt each other?
That was a long time ago. Yeah.
talking about a million years ago, but that was seltzer bottles and they would squirt each other in those comedy routines. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess you have to acquire a taste for seltzer, but it's never been my thing. All right. How much time we got? All right, we got to go to a break here in a second. I can do a shorty. Let me do a short story real quick before we go to break. Oh, you mentioned Doritos a little while ago.
Mm-hmm.
There was a 13-year-old girl in Queensland, Australia. She found a rare puffy Doritos chip in her bag, and if you've seen the story. It literally is like all puffed up. It's not flat like a normal Dorito, and it's very rare. So she stuck it on eBay, and it got several bids. But long story short, the Dorito company decided to pay her $20,000 a few weeks after she had put it on eBay for the peculiar Dorito chip. And it says that they reported that Riley Stewart posted a video on TikTok last week showing the chip that was bloated across all three of its points. She had discovered it while eating a packet of snacks. The video went viral and has garnered more than 4 million views in the ensuing weeks. And the text on the video says, "I found a puff Dorito. Is this valuable or should I just eat it?" And then, of course, the people talked her into putting it on eBay. And the rest is history. She started the bidding at 99 cents, and it went all the way up to, I think it went up to normal, like 14,000, then Doritos ended up giving her 20,000. And Doritos said, "We've been so impressed with Riley's boldness and entrepreneurial spirit, so we wanted to make sure that the Stewart family were rewarded for their creativity and their love for Doritos." And this is something I never knew before, but rare food is on eBay quite often in auctions. In 2004, a grilled cheese sandwich that featured what looked to be the face of the Virgin Mary, sold for $28,000 on eBay. And more recently, a McDonald's chicken nugget shaped like a character from the online game Among Us, I've never heard of that game, sold on eBay for $100,000. So, folks, if you've got any food in your cupboard that looks like something, put it on eBay because there's going to be a fool out there who may pay you top dollar, a big dollars for it.
If Jesus is in your refrigerator, you're going to get
right.
rich.
Jesus is in your refrigerator. I'm looking right now in the mayonnaise jar. Let's see if he's in my mayonnaise jar right now. Okay. On that note, we need to take a break, and we will come back with some more food news. So don't go away, and we will be right back as soon as I can find the button to press. Here's the button. Okay, be right back.
And now, back to Brilliant Ideas Radio with Frank and Carrie.
And as you can tell, that is the wrong button to press. this is not going well. The one I'm supposed to press is this one.
We'll be back with more of Brilliant Ideas Radio with Frank and Carrie.
Ponytail gardener, smiles like flowers in summer. Dirt on her knees and under her nails, smiles like a genuine killing snail. Lord gave me a gardening woman. I'm in love with the pretty girl. Lord gave me a gardening woman. When I get home, we're gonna round the
And now, back to Brilliant Ideas Radio with Frank and Carrie.
We are back. Did you hear me mess up, Carrie?
I heard you mess up, but I pretended I didn't.
I thought you went, probably ran off to go pee and you missed it. Yeah, I hit the wrong button.
No,
okay.
I just mute myself so that I can't, you know, make a mistake myself.
That song, by the way, Gardening Woman, is by Brian Mack. Brian is going to be our guest the second half of the show, and he's a songwriter and, as you can see, a musician and singer in Nashville, and we'll be talking to him. By the way, Carrie, are you a gardening woman?
I am not. Not anymore. No. I'm no longer a dirty girl.
Oh, you're no longer a dirty girl. Can I ask why?
Well, I moved into this place with a where you can't even like dig half an inch into the soil. It's just rocks. So, you know, maybe next year I'll do a raised culinary garden, you know, herbs, a culinary herb garden. But this year, no.
So what I've heard about you is true. You were a dirty girl, huh?
Same idea. Yes, I did get my hands dirty in the garden.
Okay, moving along with more food news. White Castle. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with White Castle on the West Coast. Do they have White Castle out there?
Not up here. They might, like in California or something, but definitely not up here.
Well, White Castle's been around since the 1930s. I think they're more of an East Coast and Midwest company, and they're basically known for their little tiny hamburgers, sliders. I guess they were the ones who originally came out with sliders. I mean, you can get a whole bag full. I think they used to be 25 cents a piece. I don't know what they cost now, but they're little tiny burgers, and people would buy them by the bag full. Well, this woman in St. Louis, her name is Lydia Machen, loves White Castle so much that she had 100 sliders at her 100th birthday. She says, "The memory of White Castle is part of my heritage. We grew up around the Great Depression, and so it was hard for my dad to get a job. White Castle was a treat because we could afford them. A hamburger only cost a quarter, and if you were lucky enough to cut a coupon out of the newspaper, you could buy 6 for 25 cents. Lydia says she lived in St. Louis area her entire life, and she recalls that they were brought up, and this is awful. My pages are sticking together because I spilled wine on my papers. they were brought up in a small home, and yeah, I can't even read it because now it's all bled out because because of the wine. Anyway.
Okay, so they were brought home in a paper bag, in a brown paper bag. Yes. And those are the things that I always think about in my memory.
Oh, okay.
Now can you see?
Yes, now I can see.
Okay.
Lydia was born in July 1921. She turned 100 years old this year. Since her family knew of her deep love for White Castle, and that the burger chain was also turning 100 in 2021, which is kind of cool, they reached out to see if they could help her celebrate hitting triple digits. And White Castle said, "We thought, what the heck? Let's ask." No, I'm sorry. I guess the family said, "What the heck? Let's ask White Castle if they're interested in participating in the birthday party." And sure enough, they did. And in addition to donating 100 White Castle original sliders to the festivities, White Castle presented Lydia with a plaque engraved with the message, quote, "In recognition of this momentous milestone, we wish you a very happy 100th birthday. Thank you for being a loyal craver." I like what she said about eating burgers. Of course, mm-hmm. someone made the comment, like, as old as she is, they can't believe that she's eating burgers. She said, when asked if anyone who lived an entire century, she how they lived for an entire century, she tells people to worry less about healthy eating and just go for the cheeseburger. What you are, she says, definitely, what are you, crazy? How could you even question such a thing? I like her already. She says, we used to call them belly bombers. I guess they bombed some people's belly, but they never bombed mine. They always hit my stomach in a welcome way. There's just nothing like it. So that's a cool story.
How fun. It is.
And
yeah.
She was a cute little old lady. Hey, 100 years, let her eat whatever she wants to get 100 years old, right?
Oh, heck yeah.
All right. Moving along and wiping the wine off of my papers. Okay. What an idiot. Okay. A California federal magistrate judge ruled that a class action lawsuit, by the way, for those who are trying to figure out, is this guy drinking wine at 9, 10 o'clock in the morning? No, we taped this show, so don't get worried. I'm not drinking wine at 9, 10 o'clock in the morning. We're taping the show in the evening. Because you know there's somebody out there saying, why is he drinking wine so early in the morning? Okay. A California federal magistrate judge ruled that a class action lawsuit against Tootsie Roll. You ready for this?
Tootsie Roll.
Because they have too much empty.
Tootsie Roll.
Yep, they have too much empty space in their movie theater candy boxes. Plaintiff has alleged there is too much air in the boxes of Sugar Babies and Junior Mints. Even though the box declares the weight of the food inside. Well, you know, as a kid, you always had those giant boxes at the movie theater, and they were never full. So,
well, how about just not
deal?
Buying them?
Amen. I agree.
If you don't like it, don't buy it.
People got nothing else to do but to pick on Tootsie Roll and Sugar Babies and Junior Mints, come on.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I mean, they do have giant boxes, but that's just part of the movie experience, right?
And, you know, your wallet makes a big difference. And if enough people just have enough of it and they say, hey, we're not buying it because of this, they will change it.
Yeah, you know, you're right. You know they will. There's going to be they'll end up making the smaller boxes to make a few people happy because they got a lawsuit against them. And it's so
there's
ridiculous.
Power in your wallets, people. You don't have to sue anybody. All you have to do is stop buying it, and they will make changes.
Yep, that's the way it works in America today. All right. Now, this is kind of interesting. Smart, very smart. In New York, London, and other big cities, a new breed of couriers with names such as Gorilla, Getter, and GoPuff is promising to have basic groceries at your front door in as little as 10 minutes. Okay, well, first, the first question I have, why do you have to have groceries so fast?
Well, who can shop that fast and drive them to your house in 10 minutes?
Well, that was my first question, too. I was like, well, how in the heck can they do this? Well, what these companies are doing, they're opening up in neighborhoods, little small warehouses, and they're stocking just the bare necessities of life, basically. And, you know, they have things like Doritos and milk and bread and what have you. And they're close enough in the neighborhoods, and they have like a small warehouse. So they have a limited selection, but they're guaranteeing that they can deliver it to you in 10 minutes or less. So let's say they have 200 items instead of a Walmart that has, what, 50,000?
Mm-hmm.
It says, unlike delivery services such as Instacart, which sends its couriers into a nearby Walmart or Costco, rapid grocery deliveries come from locations the startups themselves operate, using small warehouses located away from the high rents on Main Street. They did some studies, and what was interesting about this is in London, this guy staked out one of these places just to see what kind of business they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
just in 6 months of monitoring this one location, they were averaging 340 orders per day from that one site. Now, I don't know how big of a population was in this particular site. It didn't say in the article, but they estimated based on that rate, that particular location could do between $3 to $6 million in sales annually. So that's nothing to scoff at, but it's kind of a unique idea. It's kind of like the pop-up stores we were talking about last week. It's a small operation that's dedicated to a specific area in a small warehouse with limited items and get it to you in 10 minutes or less. I don't really understand what, I mean, okay, if you needed toilet paper really bad and you realized it while you're doing your business, I guess you would need it real quick. But otherwise, why would you need anything else quickly? That quick.
But, you know, from a business standpoint, though, what a fantastic idea. I mean, think of all of the rules and regulations you do not have to put into place if the public is not entering your store, if it is delivery only. How fabulous is that? What a fantastic idea. Just a warehouse to pick and deliver.
Picking the, you know, the things that everybody needs, like eggs, milk. Snacks, water, paper goods, that kind of thing. And then, you know, they have a limited amount, but if you need it right away, it shows up at your door. It is a neat idea.
It is. I mean, there are so many rules. You know, when the public is going to come into your store, there are so many different types. You have occupancy limitations. And, of course, during pandemic time, you have other limitations. And this way, there are basically none. You just follow the basic rules of storage. The food storage, and holy cow, what an excellent idea.
And I would bet probably 20%, 25% of what people buy when they go to the store are those type of things. I mean, everybody needs all those certain things. So it's a smart idea just to limit what you have, and if you need it quickly, have it at your door. They don't have to go out to the main store and fight the traffic and wear their mask and do all that fun stuff.
Well, you know, so up here in the Northwest, it's really, it gets dark really early in the wintertime. And when I was working full-time and I had little kids at home, I had to go pick them up from daycare and then go home to stop and get milk, bread, and eggs, just like that. It was rainy, it was cold, it was dark. I had to load the kids, unload them, blah, blah, blah. I used to wish for a drive-thru. Why can't there be a drive-thru, literally, that just sells milk, bread, and eggs?
There is actually a chain of stores like that in Nags Head, North Carolina, called Brew Through. It started off as a place that you go pick up beer and spirits, and you'd actually drive inside the store, and then they fill your order, hand it to you, and you go out the other side. It had like a garage door on both sides. Now they sell all kinds of grocery type items at the Brew Through. But yeah, I mean that is an idea that. This probably goes back to the 1980s that Brew Through started, and it's kind of along the same idea. It's just convenience, and you don't have to deal with the hassle of the big stores and get what you need, the bare necessities of life. So pretty cool.
Love it.
Okay, let's see. What time is it? All right, we got about 5 more minutes before we have our guest. Remember, we've been talking about all these self-driving cars and these robots and what do you call those things that flies in the air?
All the drones, all of the things that are going to take over the world.
I better stop this line. Drones. And so now there's a new thing coming out. California-based Monarch Tractor is going to begin field tests for its self-driving electric tractor at Oregon-based blueberry farm called Hopville Farms. Farm owner Jim Hoffman has noted that the project could decrease on-site air pollution, reduce noise, save diesel fuel, and, of course, reduce employee labor hours. So now there's going to be these robot self-driving tractors on the farm. What are people going to do when the machines take over? What are people going to be doing? I guess they're going to be sitting home eating and having 10-minute delivery of toilet paper, I guess.
I guess. I don't know. Wow. Self-driving tractors.
Yep. So, soon you're going to see little tractors running around and nobody in them. So, but, I mean, I get it because you can't find employees. And they got all these tight restrictions on air pollution and noise pollution and the diesel fuel and all that. So I guess they're killing several birds with one stone.
Yes, they are.
So, in fact, Monarch Tractor, I need to go check and see if that's that stock. That might be a good one to invest in. Don't take my advice, people, because everything I suggest always seems to go be a bummer, but I'm going to check it out. okay, let's see. We got four more minutes, so let's pick another story. Wendy's. All right, everybody. Yes, Wendy's. We haven't talked about Wendy's, I don't think. Wendy's has really good sauce. When you go get your food, especially for dipping their fries in, they've always had really good sauce. Of course, I usually get just the plain old ranch, but they really have some cool sauces. Well, Wendy's has quietly removed a fan favorite sauce, and people are going nuts. Some people online, Twitter, whatever, they said that place is now to me. They're not going to Wendy's anymore because they did away with their favorite sauce. The fast food chain announced this week that it would be adding a new super spicy ghost pepper ranch dipping sauce to locations around the country, but at the expense of another beloved condiment, creamy sriracha sauce. Have you ever had creamy sriracha sauce?
I have not.
I have, and I have to admit, it was really good. But mm-hmm. Wendy snuck in there and is replacing it with a ghost pepper ranch sauce and doing away with the creamy sriracha sauce, and I guess the customers who are basically in love with the sauce are having a fit. People are up in arms and are getting online and basically making Wendy's look stupid.
they might end up with a whole new customer base, though.
Yeah, so the only thing I read, that was all that story said about it, but what I read was I guess that they're reevaluating their sauces now. How much you want to bet
mm-hmm.
they're going to bring creamy sriracha sauce back?
Maybe.
All right, let's see here. I guess we should take our break and bring on our guest because he's waiting patiently in the wings. And it's time for me to take a break anyway. So everybody hang tight. We're going to bring on our guest, Brian Mack, which I have mentioned a couple of times before, is a singer-songwriter in Nashville. And he'll be joining us here in a couple of seconds. So don't go away, and we shall be right back.
We'll be back with more of Brilliant Ideas Radio with Frank and Karen.
And we are back, and that was Brian Mack. And Brian, welcome to the show.
Well, how are you doing, Frank?
How are you doing?
And Carrie, I'm glad.
We got a little bad connection with you, Brian. Can you hear us okay?
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yeah, now you're better. Carrie, can you hear him?
I can.
Can you hear me now?
I can.
I'm doing that commercial now, huh? Testing 1-2. Testing 1-2. Getting to the sound, man.
Welcome to the show. It's been a while. How you been?
Yes. Oh, good. And how are you doing?
I'm always
in
trouble.
It's been a long time since we talked.
I know. I'm in trouble all the time, but that's nothing new. And Carrie keeps me in line. I don't know if you've listened to any of our recent shows, but she tries to keep me in line.
You've got a big task ahead of you. Carrie, you've got a big task ahead of you.
That's what I hear.
Good to
meet you. Hey, Brian.
Good to meet you. I understand you're over in Memphis.
Well, actually, the station is in Memphis. Yeah, we're actually been picked up in the AM station in Memphis, and we're big league now, dude. We used to be podcast, but now we're real radio. So this is like...
That's fantastic.
This is like high cotton.
Hi, Cotton. Well, I'm so happy for you. I know you've been looking for this, a situation like this, and absolutely looking forward to hearing the show on a regular basis, for sure.
Well, thank you very much. I have to say that before you came on, we played your other song, Gardening Woman, and I didn't know this, but when we played the song, came back, Carrie then told me that she used to be a dirty woman herself, a dirty girl. So,
uh-oh. Carrie, do you get in the garden from time to time?
I do, but that's not exactly how the conversation went.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll have to hear that one. That often draws those kinds of that song often draws those conversations in the audience, we can see, certainly online. I like to write with a little innuendo in it, so it makes it fun, keeps it light. So,
a lot of people who don't know you in the Memphis area, I'm gonna kind of turn it loose a little bit. You can tell a little bit about you and what you've been doing. You've been in the music business for close to forever, right?
Forever, yes. Geez, thank you. I'm no fossil here in Nashville. Yeah. No, actually, I had a band up in Minnesota for about 10 years and played up through that area. I have really talented people on stage. Went through those experiences of the bar scene up until 2 in the morning. But it gets very cold up there. So it was about 20 below one night at 2 in the morning. On New Year's, and I grabbed a hold of a mic stand, and my fingers glued right to it, took the skin off, and I said, what am I doing here? What am I doing here? So, I've been writing for a while, and I thought, well, I'm going to come to Nashville. So wife and I came down here and been here for, we're coming up on, she told me today, like 8 years now. So, but it's a completely different scene here. You don't come down with your full equipment and the band and all that like you do out in the outlying areas. You come here and you get ready for getting on a stool and playing your songs, in rounds. And that's what you'll see in the hotels and the areas around. So started playing Bobby's downtown and then put a band together called the Farm Dogs. And we are, bluegrass, Americana, country. But we're going to tell you a clean story and put some innuendo. I'm the teaser writer, but my band I'm really proud of. Marcus Stadler is just fantastic banjo and slide player, engineer for the album that we put out, Dug in Hollow, and Paul Ferguson's on bass and Jamie Christian on drums. He plays downtown Broadway every night practically. So yeah, these are very talented musicians. So I'm very blessed. Oh, absolutely blessed to meet such a group of talented musicians and the others, the other songwriters are just brilliant here. So it's unfortunate COVID's putting a damper on it as it's doing all over the world. We don't really feel comfortable about meeting for songwriter, co-writer things, and I hear about that. Myself, I don't do a lot of co-writing, but sometimes they just come, so I write them down and put it to music. So, but other people have different methods that they work. So they'll do the co-writes, or one person will write the melody, the other person the lyrics or whatnot. So, yeah, that's how it works.
That song I just played, it's called Dusty Trail, is that right?
Correct, yes, Dusty Trail.
Is that your most recent one that's going on a new album?
Yeah, it's going to go on a new album that's soon to release by the end of this year. It'll be all digital, of course. We do burn copies of the disc itself. Doug and Hollow's got the hard discs, and those can be gotten at CD Baby. So you can actually have it in your hand, put it in your car. The new album coming out is same trailer, different park, and that's going to be released at the end of the year. Same trailer, different park.
Is there a song on that album called that?
Well, there really could be. There could be coming out.
I like that.
You know, what do you think? What do you think, Frank?
That's a cool line. Same trailer, different park.
That's right. So that has all kinds of connotations and innuendo, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. So what I'm going to try to do is play a few of your songs that I think are going to be on this new album. Is the one that's called Get Your Upside Right, is that on the new album too?
That's going to be on the new album, same trailer, different part. Exactly. And this is kind of a new situation. You can't go into the big studios anymore, you know, if you're going to play big bucks and pretty soon show your COVID ID as it is. But so, you know, during the lockdown, I just recorded it and mixed it, played all the instruments here in my studio. And so, you know, I didn't have anybody on it, basically. But I do have a good friend in Marcus Stadler. He has a studio, Bumpin' Head Studio. And I can send him the tape. So we go over and we see each other. And I take him over and he can mix them down. And I play with him. But for the most part, 99% of this record so far has been done in my studio here. So, yeah.
You're playing all the instruments that were here in the background and then blending it all together.
Yeah, I'm on drums, and then I don't know how to write that up in the credits on the CD. I got to see suggestions because I hear a lot of people are doing similar, so I can see what they're doing. Because you know, if you go down the run and go drums, Brian Mack, okay, bass guitar, Brian Mack, and guitar, and so forth. You know, I back up his vocals, you know. So anyway, it's a sign of the times. You just got to do what you're inspired to do and get it out in some way that you can. So, and the electronics and the technology today, it makes it incredibly, I don't want to say easy because it's really not that easy, but, as far as, you know, loading and downloading and converting and mixing and changing and all, but, you know, it's what it is. For the most part, those tracks are played straight through. There's no, I don't have the bells and whistles. So what you're hearing is what would be like in a live performance. And I always try to make it sound like you could hear this song if you walked into a bar and you grabbed yourself a beer and some pretzels and sat down and you'd hear a guy sitting on stage playing this thing on a stool, you know, and you might throw him a dollar. So
I'm going to play the next song, Get Your Upside Right, and then we'll come back. And while we're listening to the music, be thinking about, since this is a food show, you got to tell me your favorite food, what you're in the honky tonks and the places that you play, what some of the favorite foods, or maybe some funny food stories that you may, things that have happened along the way. I was going to ask you, do people throw tomatoes at you? That's kind of a food story.
Tomatoes, only the marinated ones, yes. And they have to have like green olives or something stuffed in them with those little red things inside the ear olives. Yeah. Pimentos, right?
So, pimentos, yeah.
No, actually, that's very easy to tell you what foods. That's very easy. And so you, while you're listening to the song, savor the flavor. My favorite is barbecue. Go ahead and play it.
We'll be right back.
Mama said, paint that fence, boy, get those pictures done. Mama said, best not see you till the day runs out of sun. All good things considered, Mama had bigger plans. Turn this boy into an honest man. Judge told me a story. He said, listen and listen good. Best not see you in my court or in my neighborhood. All good things considered, Judge has bigger plans. Turn this boy into an honest man. He said, get you upside right, get you upside right. Put away all those bad things you've been planning day and night. Get you upside right, get you upside right. Devil may try to take you away, but you can't say, I got my upside right. Pass along these lessons for generations to come. Marry for love and praise the Lord above. Try not to be so dumb. Get you upside right, get you upside right. Put away all those bad things you've been planning day and night. Get you upside right, get you upside right. The devil may try to take you away, but you can say, I got my upside right. On those dark and dusty days, when it's hard to find your way, all good things considered, he will show you the way. Bigger plans are coming any day. Get you upside right, get you upside right. Put away all those bad things you've been planning day and night. Get you upside right, get you upside right. Devil may try to take you away, but you can't stay. Got you upside right. I got my upside right. I got my upside right.
That was Brian Mack, Get Your Upside Right. That's been my whole problem all my life. I'm 61 years old, and I still don't have my upside right. I'm still trying.
I think that's very important. Sorry I took you all to church there, but I think that's kind of non-denominational.
Yeah.
Non-denominational. Yep. How do you say that?
Yeah, non-denominational, too.
So, it is. You know, it strikes right down the middle. It's like make everybody feel good, you know. And I kind of wrote that one thinking like the farm dogs performing at buckets with a whole crowd full of people, and we could throw tambourines out there, you know, and see if we can get the Canadians up and running and dancing and stuff. That happens a lot. So Nashville's a big party place.
Speaking of Nashville, you mentioned barbecue when we went to the song. So you've got to know where all the great barbecue places are by now, right?
Well, yeah, absolutely. Yes, sir. And I think we may have talked about this on Facebook a couple of times back and forth. Said as soon as you come to Nashville, we're going to have to go to the top of the line is Mission. And it is absolutely fantastic. It's located in the malls and those kinds of things. And I know it's around the country, but down here they threw in some Southern tastes and Southern flavors into it. And they put out one of the best briskets, and the ribs are just incredible. I'm not doing a commercial for them, but they're all for the heroes and for first responders and military and veterans and so forth. They give you free pudding when you go in, you know, bread pudding, that kind of thing, if you're a veteran. So, you know, that's kind of cool. And then the next one would be Martin's Barbecue, and they're downtown, and they're also down in Nolensville. Very good ribs. I have to plug also Puckett's. They do a good job on their rack of ribs as well. Their brisket is very good. Could be more generous portions. I think we all want that, right, Frank?
Right.
So there's the rankings. Then there's Cuties, Piggy Cuties. There's quite a few places. So you got to come over if you're going to have some. Have some barbecue.
Yeah, I mean, okay. The old COVID. COVID's been keeping us all kind of crazy. Nobody's going anywhere, and I thought things were loosening up, but here we go again. But
we got to. Well, I don't picture you in a mask on an airplane in one of those little seats. You know, so I don't picture. I don't picture myself in there. I don't picture myself. So I don't picture you sitting in one of those little seats for.
I've made my mind up. I'm not flying. I mean, I don't go overseas anyway, but I've made my mind up. If I go anywhere from now on, I'm driving because I can't. I don't like airplanes anyway because they're made for short people, and that's a whole other story. But
well,
yeah,
that's a better bet, really, because then you got a vehicle to run around here. You know, you don't have to rent one.
Exactly.
Exorbitant price if you can get one at all, and you're only like 10 hours away. So,
yeah,
you know,
that's
really
nice. Carrie,
well,
I'm
getting across
I'm
that bridge.
Carrie, I'm hogging
the thing.
Do you want to ask?
Carrie has to step in here. So Carrie's going to have some time with you, too, if you come out. Yeah.
Oh, well, you know what? What I heard was free pudding. So,
she was on. That was it. It's very.
So
you have a Mission over there, don't you? In Memphis, is absolutely known for their barbecue. Incredible stuff there. Do you have a Mission barbecue there as well?
I don't think
we
do. I don't think we have anything over here.
Frank
is always mentioning that is so.
She's in Seattle. She's not in Memphis.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're in Seattle. I thought you were to the relays in Memphis. Oh, now you're in Seattle. Oh, my gosh. I haven't been there I think 2014 was the last time that I was there. When it was actually, I'm sorry to say, I hope this doesn't offend you, but it was really a city back then.
It was a what?
It was a real city back then, 2014.
Yeah.
Maybe you tell me.
I actually don't even go into the city anymore. It just doesn't exist for me anymore. It's not the same city. And you know, so much has changed. And even just there's something new had just happened in the city earlier this week that just solidified that I will not be going back there. I live about an hour and a half southeast, kind of towards the mountain. I'm out in a small community.
Oh, okay. Okay. I know the area well. When I was through the 60s, my mother was raising 3 children on her own, and she took us up there up near, it's in Lewis County in Morton, Washington. And,
I'm not too far from there.
Yeah,
I'm not too far from Morton now.
Yeah, it's a beautiful little area. I always say, if I ever wanted to just like, well, I'm not going to say it on the radio. Heck no. Some things should never be said out in the open. It's bad enough it's on the internet, right? So, anyway.
Well, I have to ask you, Brian, what are you doing? I mean, are you actually, as a band, and are you actually playing at any places now? Are you still on hiatus because of COVID?
Well, I guess it's out there. I could really care less. My friend believes is Nashville had it November, December prior to it actually hitting here in 2020. Now you got to picture Nashville had the NFL playoff or draft. Excuse me. The mayor laid down 12 beautiful red trees so they could put the stage up down there, and they could walk these players across the stage and then prim and proper. Well, let me tell you, every single city in this country was represented, was here for their team. And you talk about a mass, you know, if it was already out, nobody knew it. And then they went home.
The super spreader.
And then we absolutely bang, right? So we're like probably a week after. So anyway, I know for a fact, my musicians that I in my band, people that work regularly down on the street, well, basically like gypsies, you know, and they talk, everybody's in cross bands and different, you know, picking up gigs here and there. Everybody was sick. Every single person could not taste, could not smell. We had the fevers. My drummer had to relieve himself. He had to, in between, he said, hey, can you guys play like doing banjos? I got to run to the bathroom right now. And he took off. And so, you know, we kicked it in and started playing. But, yeah, we were all carrying it. So and that's my firm belief. And you can talk to any musician that's been down here and people that have been down here prior to this even happening. So, you know, I wanted to go get tested and get my blood tested to get that immunity test, you know, to see. Because I think I got the golden bullet. I think just about everybody did. So, anyway.
I'm staying with you, Brian. It was November, the end of November 2019 and the first 3 weeks of December 2019, just before Christmas, I was the sickest I've ever been in my whole life. I had all the symptoms.
I remember.
Now they called it an upper respiratory infection then. And I thought I was going to die. And so I've never been checked for the antibodies myself, but I have a feeling I had it before they called it COVID.
Yeah, right. It was just the strangest thing because you couldn't smell, you couldn't taste, and then it hit everybody a little bit differently. I went like, it raced through me very quickly and then was gone. I was basically on the 23rd on stage. I was fine, but everybody else was not. And we could tell people in the audience were not all that well either. So, yeah. But anyway, I think it hit our shores far sooner than anybody. There's so much that they're not telling anybody, you know. It's like, be truthful with us. You know, you and I have talked about this before. We shouldn't probably talk on the radio. You know, I heard about social cancellation and that kind of stuff. Man. But anyway.
I hear you.
Yeah,
well, I don't really care
about any of those cancellation things because I'm a songwriter. We just write what's going on at the time and what we're feeling right then. And these songs that I try to keep it uplifting, you know. The Gardening Woman, that was written about my wife. She is a manager of a large chain of at local store, but it's a large chain, and in the gardening center. And plus, our garden is beautiful. And so one day just like inspired me as she was coming back with dirt all over her and just smiling from ear to ear, you know, and even Dusty Trail is basically just from a line that came, you know, while hitting a couple riffs, you know, doing a couple changes on it. And it's got an upward feeling of love between two people. You know, I do have some darker side, like Johnny Cash type of songs and things, but I really like to publish out things that are a little more uplifting. So, I think we all need that in this world. What do you think?
Well,
Jerry?
I'm gonna play my favorite song that you have. You know, this is my favorite song, and you've had this one for a while. And I'm gonna play it next. And then when we come back after the song, tell us, you know, we can tell everybody about your new album, when it's going to be out, where they can get it, and all that. So everybody, hang tight. This is my favorite song of Brian's. It's just one of those feel good kind of songs. Even when things are bad, this will make you smile. The song is called "Smiles All Around," and we'll be right back. How bad it gets, lift your glass, make a toast, smiles all around. I like that.
Yeah, no great message.
For you, down. Yeah, I went into the studio with thinking about that song of just like being three-piece in a small little bar. You probably see that in Memphis. You're going down the music area. Just a little three-piece, little drummer with one snare and then an upright bass and just a guy with a guitar. And having a beer, smiles all around in the bar. That was yeah. kind of the inspiration of that. Well, thank you for your kind words about the song too. That was produced back in, I think, 2011, something like that. So anyway.
Yeah, that's matter of fact, I have to ask your permission on something too. I'm sure you don't care, but at the end of the show, another one of my favorite songs of yours is "Do I Drive Women Crazy?" I'm gonna have to play that.
Oh, have you got a copy of that?
I got a copy of that. Yeah. You sent me that years ago. Is that okay to play?
Yeah, you have absolute permission to play that. You can get my music. Amazon Music is the best way. You can just say Alexa, play the Farm Dogs Band, and you would get the record Duck and Hollow, and just hear that. Or go to any of the music, Amazon and Spotify, those kinds of places. To purchase songs directly and download them directly if you wanted to, very safe way of doing that is to go to reverbnation.com/Brian Mack. Sorry, I just did a commercial, Frank.
when is the same trailer, different part? When is that coming out?
I think we've got 8 songs on the record right now. And the thing is, I can't really push it. I'm just kind of waiting for a couple things that are going to come along. You know, songs come to me like in the middle of the night. So you just got to wait and it'll just hit you. You grab something and you're inspired and you start writing. And a lot of times the story, the feeling can all come from, within an hour or so, just writing the words and perfecting that base of it. And then you go from there. So I haven't gone through the last 3. That's a long ways to get to telling you an answer to a very difficult question, because you never want to ask an artist when is it actually going to be released, I would think.
I always ask the questions I'm not supposed to ask, but I didn't know if it was
to do.
Yeah. All right. Well, Brian, we appreciate you joining us, and you're welcome to come back. Whenever the new album is done, let me know, and we'll come back. And if you got some more new music to play, we'll have you back on, and we appreciate you joining us. Everybody, check out Brian on all the different locations he just mentioned in his little Brian Mack commercial. They can find you on, I guess, Facebook and Twitter and all that too, right?
Yeah, they can find me on Facebook through you. And, you know, I can't help it. If I'm working on something, I've been known to post a work in progress, a quick little throw a camera down and ask people, friends, to say, what do you think about this? And throw some ideas out. So, yeah, find me on Facebook, if you're Frank, or just go Facebook Brian Mack. I believe it's Brian Mack Band. I'm such a long holder of Facebook, unfortunately. It's a positive, double-edged sword, isn't it, for all of us?
You also end up in jail a lot, but we won't talk about that.
Yes, I do. Yeah. Well, I haven't. I've been a good boy for the last few months, actually.
Well, good for you. We got to run, Brian. We want to thank you again for joining us. Everyone, check out his music, and he's got some nice songs. I'm gonna, at the end of the show, like I said, I'm going to play another one of my favorites. And, Brian, don't be a stranger.
Oh, I will not. And very nice to meet you, Carrie. I look forward to hearing the show coming up and also going through some of your past archives. Your archive stuff is posted online, so yeah, I'm going to go through
great.
Those as well. Well, you guys have a great your great time, and we'll check you later.
All right, sounds good. Take care.
You say that.
All right, everybody, check out Brian. He's got some good music and a good guy. He's been doing this for quite some time. He actually writes music for other people too. Anyway, just salt of the earth type of guy. So we're going to continue, Carrie. I'm not going to take a break here because we're down to our last 23 minutes. I'm going to do some more food news and commentary, and we're going to go right where we left off. And we've talked about movie snacks a little while ago with Tootsie Rolls and Sugar Babies and all that. Well,
we did.
You know what the number one snack at the movies in Texas? What that is, what people like to order at Texas when they're at the movie?
Oh, I have no idea what Texas people are thinking or up to at any given time. What is it?
Well, it was really weird because I've never heard of this before, but it's according to studies that they found, the Texas movie theater snack that no other states even understand or even sell. They eat big fat pickles at the movie theater. They actually get them in a paper bag, and people will actually order pickles. And I mean, they'll get popcorn and drinks too, but the favorite snack of the movies in Texas are pickles. And it goes way, it's a long time tradition that goes way back. The humble pickle was a movie concession snack for many, many years, all the way back to 1975. It was written up in several magazines and newspapers. And of course, pickles originally came from, didn't know this either, came from Germany. So in Germany, pickles, you know, we have popcorn and sugar babies and all that. Pickles is a big deal in Germany. And for whatever reason, Texas picked it up as an item that a lot of people have. So have you ever seen anybody eating pickles at the movie theater?
I have never seen it even on the menu or even as an option at a movie theater.
I don't mean
maybe
either.
At the
so
state fair, but not at the movie theater. Interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. And, of course, the concession people love it because pickles make you thirsty. So they tend to sell mm-hmm. lots of drinks in Texas because of the salty pickles. And it says here that some people actually will put their pickles inside their popcorn containers and mix it up and have a salty snack of popcorn and pickles. And they've even got some in some movie theaters. This sounds gross to me, but a candy cane skewered through the pickle. Have you ever heard
Ew.
Such a thing?
Sweet and sour. No, I haven't.
Yep. Sweet and sour pickles at the movie theater. So if you're ever in Texas and want to go see a movie, make sure you order a pickle. Crazy. All right. We talked about Wendy's, so I can skip that. This is something that's probably going to make a lot of people unhappy, but whatever. GMO, or as I like to say, OMG, we're going to talk about GMOs. Well, the Philippines has just approved a GMO golden rice for commercial production. And this is very interesting. I never knew it, some of the stuff that they said in this article, but the Philippines became the world's first country this past Friday to approve the commercial production of genetically modified golden rice that experts hope will combat childhood blindness and save lives in the developing world. A biosafety permit issued by the government regulators paves the way for the rice enriched with the vitamin A precursor beta carotene to make it more nutritional so it can be grown by farmers across the country. Philippine-based International Rice Research, IRRI, has spent two decades working with the Department of Agriculture in Philippines with the Rice Research Institute to develop golden rice. Now, this is what's weird. Okay, before I go any further, how do you feel about GMOs? How do you feel about GMOs, Gary?
I think it depends. I mean, I know, you know, people call it Frankenfood. They call it all kinds of names. I think also the company Roundup has been linked to GMO foods. And, you know, I don't know, because I know for a long time I was totally, you know, oh my God, GMO, I was totally like freaking out. And a few years ago, I went on a tour of some of the orchards here for Treetop, you know, that makes apple juice, and I don't know if they have it over there. And so we went through some of the orchards, and the farmer was explaining that the Honeycrisp apple is a genetic, it's basically been modified. It's two different apples, two different apple trees grafted together to create this Honeycrisp apple. And there are a lot of apples like this on the market. So technically, isn't that a GMO?
Yep. And sometimes this happens just with cross-pollination and natural, and that's how they used to do it.
But this is something that they do. They created these apples so that they would last longer. They would be fresher than the basic red.
Yeah. I would say that's GMO, just like 90% of the corn that we have today is also GMO. It's been designed
to... So I have to backtrack on that a little bit. Yeah.
Well, this is interesting about this rice, and you know, no matter how you feel about GMOs, this is kind of very actually unique what they're doing. And yeah, it may be Frankenfood, but listen to this. It says golden rice has faced strong resistance from environmental groups opposed to genetically altered food plants. At least one test field in the Philippines was attacked by activists and burned. Despite passing the final regulatory hurdle, the rice is still away before it appears in the food bowls. Ordinary rice, a staple for hundreds of millions of people, particularly in Asia, produces beta carotene in the plant, but it's not found in the grain of rice. So what they've done is with the GMO modification, they've had the beta carotene actually is in the actual rice itself, not just the plant. The only change mm-hmm. that we have made is to produce beta carotene in the grain. The farmers will be able to grow them in exactly the same way as ordinary varieties. It doesn't need additional fertilizer or changes in management, and it carries with it the benefit of improved nutrition. This is the part that was kind of amazing to me. Vitamin A is an essential for normal growth and development, the proper functioning of the immune system, and vision. World Health Organization data shows that vitamin A deficiency causes up to 500,000 cases of childhood blindness every year, with half of those dying within 12 months of losing their sight. Nearly 17% of children under the age of 5 in the Philippines are deficient in vitamin A. We've always said we'll be able to provide 30 to 50% of the estimated average requirement of vitamin A, and when you add that to what is existing in the diet, you can push up a whole cohort of populations from insufficiencies to sufficiencies. Golden rice was analyzed with the food safety regulators in Australia, the United States, and Canada, and was given the thumbs up, but it has not been approved in these countries for commercial production yet. So I guess the good news is they're making a rice that's going to help these folks. I didn't realize there was that many people that were blind because of vitamin A deficiencies, but it's I guess a pretty big deal over in Asia. So it's kind of unique.
GMOs, some GMOs do yield some very good things.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, theoretically, not to get on this subject again, but vaccines are also, the vaccines we have now are also GMO. don't even go there. Next. Speaking of health, changing your diets mean that more Americans are anemic now. Because people are not eating red meat, growing numbers of Americans aren't getting enough iron in their diets due to all the changes in farming practices and a shift away from red meat. The upshot, rates of iron deficiency anemia are on the rise. Iron deficiency remains a major public health issue, even in developed countries such as the United States. Iron helps make hemoglobin, a component of red blood cells that carries oxygen from the lungs to the rest of the body. Anemia results from a drop in the red blood cells. It can cause fatigue, pale skin, dizziness, and or weakness, and can lead to other health problems. More folks are eating chicken instead of red meat for health purposes, and red meat contains much more iron than any other types of meat. Which I can't eat red meat myself. Fortified grains and cereals increase iron intake, but low-carb diets, like the ones we had talked about earlier, and switching away from fortified cereals has also decreased iron intake across America. So, you know where I'm going with this, don't you? My question is, if they do more and more of this plant-based products, are people going to become more anemic?
Not if they do their research and eat the proper foods to offset it, or buy the correct vitamins and minerals to offset it. Everyone will be okay.
What was that? Wasn't it called the one-a-day vitamins? They still make those, but didn't that, wasn't that high
in iron? Yeah. My youngest when he was little was not a meat eater. I mean, just it did not matter how I cooked it, how I put it in front of him. He just refused, and he did have a problem with anemia. He started craving different things, like some of the other foods that he started eating will offset that, so that by the time we went in for the next appointment, his anemia, you know, it was done. So, you know, if you listen to your body, it will tell you what it needs. He started eating weird things like, you know, tons of Ovaltine, which of course had iron in it, but also things like green beans and broccoli and peanut butter, of all things. Strange combinations.
Well, the part I'm not going to read the whole article here, but it was interesting to me. There's the reverse of it. You can have too much iron, and that's also can actually kill you. Yeah, you can actually kill you. So there's that fine line of having not enough and get anemia, or too much, and it actually acts as a toxin inside of your body. Yeah, we're always going to die. We're all going to die of something. That's what I always say.
Our bodies are pretty amazing.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
And the last story of the evening is on a kind of a funny note. There was a high-speed chase in Ohio recently because the guy went to get his pizza, and he wanted to hurry up and get home before the pizza got cold. And the police officers caught him speeding home at 114 miles per hour on July 19th to keep his pizza. This is what he told police. He said he wanted to keep the pizza at just the right temperature after picking it up from the local eatery, so he was driving fast home so he'd have hot pizza when he got home. The police chased him through, and it took them through several counties in Ohio. They finally found him. He actually eluded them for a while, but he was driving so fast and turning around the corners and skidding his tires that he actually left the smell of rubber, and that's literally how they found him. People reported the smell of rubber, and that's how they tracked him down to his house and found him. Of course, they had his license plate too, but he got arrested for driving too fast and eluding the officers. There's one thing about pizza a couple of things about pizza that I didn't know on reading this article. Americans love their pizza. In fact, 350 slices of pizza are eaten in the U.S. every second. The average American eats 46 slices of pizza per year. I think I eat more than that.
I eat way less.
You eat less than 46? Well, okay. You've heard that joke, right? When the guy goes the guy goes to the pizza parlor, and the pizza man says, "Do you want me to cut this pizza in 6 slices or 8 slices?" He says, "You better cut it in 6 slices. I don't think I can eat 8."
Okay.
Anyway, the average American eats 46 slices of pizza per year, and 300 billion pizzas are sold in the United States every single year. 300 billion pizzas. I know.
Does it list America's favorite topping? What is it? What do we eat more? Pepperoni?
I would say it's pepperoni. It's got to be pepperoni. It didn't say.
Got to be.
No, it's probably like ice cream. Remember we talked about ice cream a couple of weeks ago? There's probably things that people like on their pizzas more than others. Hey, I wonder if Texas, they like pickles on their pizza.
Maybe. You never know.
All right. You never know. We are almost out of time. Is there anything else you would like to tell our listening population out there, Carrie, about anything else that you're doing at the present moment?
I don't have anything new this week. I've just been working my day job, I don't have anything new this week.
All right, and I don't really have anything new other than just being me, working on a couple of projects, but they're under top secret right now, so I'm like secret squirrel. I can't tell anybody, but I got nothing going on either.
Should I be Boris or Natasha?
You're not like Natasha. What was the other one's name?
Boris?
Boris. No, you're not Boris either. It's like Bullwinkle, right? And that's Rocky, right? Rocky the Squirrel?
Right.
I don't know.
And I don't know anybody in Secret Squirrel except Secret Squirrel, so I had to go to the other squirrel.
Well, I've got some Secret Squirrel projects going on, but I can't tell anybody right now. That's why they're Secret Squirrel. All right.
That's right.
If you guys would like to hear replays of our show, you can hear them at grillianideasradio.com. There's a tab there that says replays, and all of our shows from the past are there, and you can hear all the food news that we have talked about over the last several weeks. And if you want to contact us, contact page there. If you want to tell us about someone you'd like for us to interview on the show, musical or foodie person, we'd love to hear from you. And we're looking for guests all the time. Next week we've got a honeybee, a beekeeper coming on next week, and also a chef. And we're going to try to have two guests each week moving forward. We do appreciate you listening, and if you have any, like I say, suggestions or comments, send us a note. And I think that's everything I've got. So, Carrie, you can tell everybody goodbye. I am going to play Brian Mack's song, Do I Drive Women Crazy? And I think that this should be my theme song, by the way. So, everyone, thank you for joining us, and come back and see us sometime.
Yes, come back and see us next week, please, because we love talking to you.
Do I drive women crazy, or do I just find them that way? I've been married at least 3 times. You never know just what you'll find. Do I drive them in crazy, or do I just find them that way?
Thanks for listening to Brilliant Ideas Radio with Frank and Carrie. Opinions, comments, and representations made by the hosts and guests of this program are not necessarily shared by this station and are purely for entertainment purposes. Explore more about our show, the hosts, and, of course, the ideas at brilliantideasradio.com.